Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
We are in the series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The last 2 weeks we talked about love and joy. So Pastor Dreyer and I have a series of nine items that it's called the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if you know those, I would like you to say them along with me, or just as far as you can go along with me. Let's try to say it all together. Are you ready? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All right. Now, today we're going to be talking about peace. As a matter of fact, we want to do more than talk about peace. We want to experience a lasting and authentic peace, not the kind of peace that the world can give on a temporary, on a flash basis, but the kind of peace that comes when we are in the right relationship with God, and when we know what it is that He has in store for us, what He wants to give to us, bestow upon us, we want to experience that peace today. Now, when the Apostle Paul would write a letter to one of the churches, he invariably started out by saying, "Grace to you and peace, peace." If he did that repeatedly, obviously, peace has got to be a very, very important kind of a thing. Now, the Hebrew-speaking people had a special word for peace. In fact, that word is shalom, shalom. See it up on the screen. Can you say it with me? Shalom. All right. Now, that's more than just peace as we understand peace, but it is the totality or completeness of life. It includes the idea of fulfillment, of success, flourishing, harmony, tranquility, wholeness, security, well-being of the soul. That's what shalom is. And that is the word, that's the background of it all. When in the Bible we encounter that word peace, it's more than just the absence of conflict. It's more than just kind of feeling mellow for a little bit. But it's a one word, one syllable word with five letters, peace, which covers a lot. In fact, it might be just about everything that a person would really long for in their life. How about you? You want peace? Well, how about this? Think of peace or its opposite, conflict. Conflict. When we think of peace, we think of the other end of it too, the idea of a conflict or war. And if you were to write a history of the world, the most frequent subject that you would be dealing with would be warfare. By one researcher's conclusion, it would occupy 85% of recorded time. Another writer puts it this way, in the 3,525 years that had been, examined, only 286 of those years were without open war or conflict somewhere. Another one stated that there were over 8,000 peace treaties in recorded history, of which every one of them had been broken. So conflict is more than just conflict or a warfare between nations. Sometimes it can be even within a nation. As a matter of fact, we can break it down to smaller and smaller and smaller scale. Is there conflict in the United States? Like, is there political conflict? Yeah, okay. What about racial conflict? What about conflict of values? What about culture wars? And let's break it down a little bit further. Is there conflict sometimes within families? Are there broken up families? What about domestic violence? What are the police calls that are most dreaded by the uniformed personnel? It's when there is a domestic disturbance, because there is a greater likelihood that someone, including the police, are going to be getting injured. There's a lot of interpersonal conflict, bringing it down even, you know, to into our own experience in our own world, our little world, conflict that goes on, people envious of one another, their success or their status or what they have, people building walls instead of building bridges, building up barriers, labeling people, bullying people. You know, it just kind of goes on and on, that conflict. But now let's go the furthest step of all, and that is the step that takes us deep within. Yeah, people conflicted within themselves, the lack of peace of mind. And I believe this, that when Paul writes his letter about the fruit of the Holy Spirit to the Galatians, and when he talks about peace, I believe he's talking about that inner peace, that personal inner peace. And that is a matter that people really, really want to have, but that lack of peace of mind. And you have to become a person of peace before you can become a bearer of peace, like Jesus had said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers. You've got to be a peace possessor if you're going to be a peace sharer with someone else. So what's the problem? The apostle Jesus, by the name of James, writes this. He asks a question. What causes quarrels? What causes fight among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? Now, if you look at that, among you, that means even among Christians, there can be sometimes conflicts. And what's the problem? It's really the other person, isn't it? If another person would just see things the way I do, there would be absolutely no conflict. I've got the solution. Why do people want to resist that? But here's the problem. It says, those passions, those feelings that are at war, that are conflicting inside of themselves. Wow. So the real problem is within, and that problem within is the one that needs to be resolved. Now, it's important that we understand that true peace does not depend on circumstances. We tend to think, if only this or that would be resolved, I would have peace. Everything would be fine. And in fact, I can point to some people. If they would just shape up, I would be just fine. Or maybe if this pain would be gone, if this situation would be resolved, then I would have peace. Now, back in the days before my ordination, and I was a vicar, and was assigned a year of service at Cleveland, Ohio, The first hospital visit that I was assigned was to a lady by the name of Helen. Now, Helen had a severe case of shingles. It was bad enough that she ended up in the hospital. Shingles is not a pleasant thing to have. It's not a pleasant condition. A lot of blisters and rash and pain, and it just doesn't want to go away, and the itching is so terrible that it is painful. And there's Helen. She had shingles, but she was the most upbeat, cheerful woman that I had ever seen in my life. And I finally asked her, how can you be so cheerful when all of this is going on? And she looks at me like, huh, don't you get it? I said, it's God. Scott said, well, this woman, I got to make sure Connie gets to meet her because this woman is amazing. Now, lack of peace doesn't come because we've got pain and unpleasant circumstances. Actually, the whole thing is the result of the presence of sin within us. You see, sin is that condition of being at odds with God. Sin is a failure of putting our full trust in God and being in obedience to Him. Sin is disobedience. It is in our thought, in our speaking, in our doing. It is a drastic state, natural state of humanity, and it required something very drastic on God's part to save us from that. But when there is unresolved guilt in our lives, then peace vanishes. You know, what about guilt? Guilt is being, you know, we're out of joint with God. We're out of alignment with Him. And we cannot have peace until we are properly aligned with God. So it just goes with that. And guilt has a terrible way of destroying peace. Or how about when there is lack of faith? Peace evaporates. When we're out of tune with God's purposes for our life and we're pursuing our own purposes, peace departs. When we let difficult circumstances in our lives, whether it's health, finances, or employment, or whatever, when we let that dominate our thinking, and we even get a little bit obsessed with that, peace fades away. When we hang on to envy and jealousy and resentment, thoughts of revenge, peace just can't coexist with that. So when that happens, and there's inner conflict, there's lack of peace. So peace is not the absence of pain or the absence of conflict. Peace is something a whole lot more. What is peace? Peace is the presence of God. The presence of God. Because obviously, He is the source of all peace. He is referred to as the God of peace. When the angels sang to the shepherds on the field in the night of the birth of Jesus, they said, "Peace on earth." So peace now becomes a possibility. But how? Let's look at the fifth chapter of Romans in the first verse. And it introduces us to a transforming truth. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So what is it to be justified by faith? Okay, we'll go back to that idea of alignment again. Justification, when you're writing and putting out a document, you want to be, the lines to be justified, the margin justified, like on the left side. It's set up straight in alignment with God, with His purposes. But that comes not by our works, but it comes by faith. It is simply a trust. It is a complete reliance upon Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. It is not by our good works. If it is by that, we can never have peace, because you'll also wonder, have I done enough? Have I done enough? Is God satisfied with me now? Maybe if I try a little bit harder, and yet you never be certain. As a matter of fact, without Jesus Christ, there is no authentic peace. I always wonder, have I made the grade? Faith just simply relies on the grace of God, and we stand in that grace. Grace trusts completely what Christ has done for us on the cross to forgive our sins. Now, think about this. If we are then trusting Him for that forgiveness, and if that forgiveness has already been won, where is your sin? You don't have it anymore. It doesn't belong to you anymore. Somebody else paid for it. It's up on the cross. It's on Jesus. So then where is guilt? Guilt has become absolutely unnecessary. You don't have to have guilt. And so if guilt then is gone, does it have any authority to take away your peace? And the answer is obviously not. So you don't worry, did I do everything right? You can always think about some things where you screwed up and, I should have done that instead. Guilt, my peace is gone. No. Jesus took that. He put it on the cross. Now, that Bible verse also says that we have, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's not might get, hope to maybe someday have peace with God, but we have it because it's fruit of the Spirit. And over the last couple of weeks, you've noticed that the fruit of the Spirit is not something we achieve. It is a gift. It is something that is in God. It's in the character of Jesus, and when He lives in you, that characteristic lives in you. It all goes with that package of being justified by faith. So if guilt can't do it, how about anxiety? And what about anxieties for the future? Does that have authority to take away your peace? Well, let's go back to another verse in Romans chapter 5. Now verse 2, through Him, and that of course is Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith, notice the word faith comes again, into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The future word here is hope. Hope looks at the future and says, it doesn't intimidate me. The future, I'm not afraid of the future. I have hope. Now, hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is something that has a certainty. So we're granted access to grace through this faith, and then we have hope. What is that hope? That hope is, it's a firm expectation because it is a guarantee in sharing in the glory of God. Okay, what's that? Push that a little bit further. What is sharing in the glory of God? Well, it's a quality we experience already on this earth, but it comes to its completeness ultimately in heaven, spending eternity with God. If you know that certainty in the depth of your soul, is there anything that is then on left here, any anxiety that would have authority to take away your peace? No legal authority to do that whatsoever. Well, yeah, but you don't know. There's a lot of bad stuff going on in my life, you know? I mean, it's just not real pretty. Okay, so you're saying then, can circumstances rob you of peace? Can they? Do circumstances have the authority to steal your peace, which is a gift that God presents to you? It's meant for you. Well, what about suffering? Can it do it? Well, can it rob you of your peace? Go ask Helen whether it would do that. Well, there was a patron of the arts who decided to put on a contest, and he selected two of the most distinguished artists of the time to execute a painting, and it would be on the subject of peace, and just do whatever you want, whatever you can do to portray peace in a painting. And so the time went by, and now it was time to present these and to have the public exhibition of them, the unveiling. The day arrived, the donor was there, the judges were there, the public was there, the press was there, and so time came, lifting the veil off the first one. In astonishment, everyone just gazed at it, and there was, following the hush, just that sense of, oh, awe. Oh. And they just gasp in amazement. It's a pastoral scene of just perfect contentment. Lush colors in the landscape. There's a pond in the front where it is so still that it reflects perfectly the lovely, perfectly shaped and perfectly colored trees in the background. And then on the hillside, there are sheep that are contentedly grazing on the lush green meadow. Wow, everything executed perfectly. Could you imagine a more peaceful scene? This is the Garden of Eden, isn't it? So, the other work now is unveiled. And at first there is a hush also, but it is followed by a kind of a murmur of amazement, a puzzled one. The colors are dark and ominous. There are obvious features of a severe storm violently swaying the trees and vegetation, storm water that's lashing against the stark, jagged rocks. Peace? Peace? A closer look reveals that there is a cleft in that rock, and in that cleft there is a bird's nest with a bird sitting on her eggs. And she is singing her bird song cheerfully and contentedly, perfectly at peace, because she has security in the midst of the circumstances of life. And that's the kind of peace that God wants us to have, because circumstances do not determine whether or not you have peace, because it is a gift. And particularly during difficult circumstances, the miracle of peace will shine the most brightly. And in all of that, and even in the worst of circumstances, something is happening. God can be at work. And He is strengthening us in that so that we can bear that fruit of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at Romans chapter 5 again. Now in the fifth verse it says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." So we can rejoice even in our sufferings. We have hope and we are not put to shame. Why? Because God loves us. By His Holy Spirit, He just lavishes love into our lives. God comes through. He always does. Hope will not put you to shame. Love poured into our hearts. It's kind of an interesting terminology using the word pouring, because it's not just God measuring out just a tiny little bit for you. Oh, how little can I get by with? No, He pours His love, and your cup overflows with that love. Paul writes to the Ephesians that he lavished his love upon us. When Joel the prophet speaks about when the Holy Spirit is going to be given, he says, I will pour out, God says, I will pour out my Spirit. That's quoted again on the day of Pentecost, when it's obvious the Holy Spirit is poured out. That's how God wants to lavish His love, pouring out His Spirit, the fruit of that Spirit then just characterizing our lives. Well, Paul can write about it because Paul knew all about it. Paul was one of those crazy Christians who, in the midst of the worst of times, just seemed to be, you know, clueless of what terrible things could happen to him. He just thought of the good stuff that God had in mind for him. When you get home, read the 27th chapter of Acts. There's an interesting story there because Paul is on a ship. Now, he is a prisoner on this ship, and he is on the way to Rome. And what's going to await him in Rome? It's not going to be good. Can't be good at all. Fact is, he's going to be executed in Rome. So here's a prisoner on the ship. Well, that's bad enough, but then a storm blows up. And this storm is not your ordinary storm, you know, hey, I'm going to ride out that storm. But it's one that is totally dangerous. And in fact, everybody on that ship is freaking out. They throw overboard all the cargo so as to lighten the load and give it a chance, you know, so it isn't swamped. And everybody is in that sense of despair. You can imagine the screaming that's going on there. And then the ship starts to break apart even. And there's Paul. He's just having a happy time. He's totally contented. He is completely at peace. The secret, you know, it's God gives him the peace. The Holy Spirit bringing him peace. You know, he has peace with God through Jesus Christ. That relationship is secure. He knows that if the best should happen, which would be that he would die, he would go to heaven. Yeah. And so he knew the secret of that peace. It's a tranquility. Now, in this series that Pastor Dreyer and I are preaching, we want you to not only get some information in your heads about the fruit of the Spirit, we want this to be in your hearts. We want this to be something that just is so experienced so strongly, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so forth. The grace of God that offers to us that wonderful gift. Now, this peace, it's a supernatural tranquility of the soul. And it's ours. It's legally yours. Now, there was a man who had great wealth. As a matter of fact, he had an almost limitless sum of money in a bank account. Everything that he could ever want, hey, it was his. Yet, he lived in poverty. The house, well, it was a broken down, dilapidated, disgraceful hovel. The leaking of the roof was, you know, the least of the problems there. A rusted pickup with bald tires and the worn out battery. I mean, that's the only transportation that he had. He would try to find leftovers here and there to eat, the simplest of food. And he would, if he'd have to go to the store, he'd look for something where it would be on sale because, you know, it was past the expiration date. And obviously his health is deteriorating and he's barely alive. He lives in isolation, yet he had enough wealth to have the finest home and live the most lavish lifestyle of anyone in his state. Now, I wonder how many Christians might be living like that. You know, a Christian who lives below what God has provided, living without peace. You know, you don't have to earn it. You don't have to strive for it. You're not going to, if you take some, you're not going to be using it up. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to wish for it with all of your heart. It's yours. Peace, the peace of God, is legally yours. I use that word legally intentionally because after he says the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, and so forth, says, against such there is no law. So it's all legally yours. It comes with the package, your justification by faith. Your personal relationship with Jesus Christ not only forgives your sins, it brings the fruit of the Spirit to your life. And so you have the right to that peace. And it comes when you submit yourself over to Him. It is yours. You can experience the benefits and the blessings of that peace. Now, having it and experiencing it can be two different things. So how does Jesus bring you peace? Well, the prophet Isaiah said that by His wounds you have been healed. You know, we experience the wounding of sin. But the guilty conscience is freed, so you don't have to have your peace taken away by guilt. You do not have to have your peace taken away by circumstances. You don't have to have your peace taken away by anxieties. It is a simple matter of transferring all of those things onto Him, because He bore our griefs, our sorrows, everything, all of our weaknesses, all of our sicknesses, He bore all of those things. And so we just simply place them upon Him. The guilty conscience is freed because the gap between us with all of our guilt and God and His peace, that gap that we just can't seem to get across, there is a bridge across that. And that is the bridge of Jesus and His cross. He says, take that route and you are there. And cast out all those false gods. Yeah, we kind of treat them like they're gods. Our anxieties, you know, try to treat them the best that we can. All of our fears, we like to nurture them and feed those fears. All of our resentments, yeah, we like for them to grow. The inner conflict, you just dethrone those things, place them on Jesus. Anything that resists the comforting presence of the Lord. But let's hear it from the Prince of Peace Himself. This is what Jesus said. He said this to His disciples on probably the most stressful night of His life. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, which is a temporary peace and a false peace, a circumstantial peace. Not as the world gives. I give lasting peace. I give authentic peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. And then feeding off of that, the Apostle Paul wrote, says, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Oh, pause here. What's this with thanksgiving? When you're asking for something, because you trust the person that you're asking. You trust him so much that even before you see the answer, you say, thank you, because you know it is yours. With thanksgiving, that your request be made known to God. Now what's the result? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. One more quote. The prophet Isaiah, 26th chapter, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Perfect peace, how to have it? God's answer. Our responsibility now is to take it, accept it, and receive it. Amen.